Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
And good morning. This is Debbie Verney.
Good morning. This is Dan Glasser.
And we're two of the attorneys from the Herzog Law Firm. We're going to be here for the next hour to answer your questions on estate planning, estate administration, Medicaid planning. And we have our real estate law guru, Dan, with us. So he'll be answering your questions about real estate. And we'd love for you guys to give us a call because Dan and I are in competition with everybody else to see how many callers we can have. So the phone number here is 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Debbie. I think we're going to have eight callers today.
I know that's what you had said. You had emailed me we're going to have eight callers, so we'll have to make sure that we get those people on the phone and giving us a call. So I know that the real estate business is just crazy. I actually got a postcard at my house the other day that said, you know, hey, I've got someone that's looking to move into your neighborhood. Would you ever think about selling? So I'm thinking the market must be pretty hot right now.
It is. It is very hot. And the issue that a lot of agents and people in the field have is that there's low inventory. So we have all these buyers. We have incredible rates that we haven't seen in a long time, if ever. And there's not much out there. So as soon as the house comes on the market, we're seeing multiple offers to the tune of like 10 or 11 offers, and then people spending $30,000 to $40,000 over asking.
Wow.
Because they love the house so much, and they're waiving inspections, which is not a good thing to do, but people are doing whatever it takes to get into homes. We are hoping that as the weather warms up and we see that green stuff. Remember that green stuff? Oh, it's called grass.
We haven't seen grass. It, no. Yes.
we're hoping that once we hit a thaw, that people will start putting their houses on the market, and we'll see some more volume.
Yeah, it's difficult. I know that there's a lot of people that don't realize that more goes into a closing on a house than just, you know, the real estate agent sends the contract to the attorney approves it, and then, boom, a month down the road, everybody, you know, has their contract and they're ready to go, and we have the closing. It's a lot more work than that, and it's interesting because we do a lot of estate administration, obviously, when people pass away. Like the last 2 months, I've seen a lot of situations where people died with property that's individually in their name, or they thought things were transferred and they weren't. I had one situation where mom died and they said, you know, we need to probate her will because the house is individually in her name and everything. They brought us in the deed. And they actually came from another attorney, and once we started looking into it, mom had actually conveyed the house to the five kids like 10 years ago. And it's like, oh, well, you guys already own it. We don't have to do this. And then all of a sudden we look and he's like, yeah, but my sister is dead. And I'm like, your sister's dead? And it's like, the one that owned a fifth of this property had passed away years ago. And I'm like, well, we could get her husband to sign off, right? Or her kids. And they're like, yeah, her husband just died. So it's one of those things where we're going to have to work backwards to try to get this one-fifth of the property transferred to the correct family member, but it's not that easy.
No, nothing is ever easy. There is a lot that not many people know about that goes on behind the scenes, like you said, to get from a contract to a closing. So a lot of what I do during the day is set expectations for clients. You know, some clients want to close on Saturday.
Nope.
We can't do it.
The banks aren't open. You can't close on Saturdays.
It's true. I will play the kid card too, you know, because I have six kids and they like to see me. So we hang out on the weekends. So I don't do closings on the weekends. And there are so many people involved in a closing as well. So you've got attorneys for the seller, the buyer, the bank. You've got a title company, you know, the buyer and seller. And then to get them all in a room, or sometimes two rooms lately, due to social distancing, can take a lot of emails back and forth and a lot of phone calls. Closings are scheduled Monday through Friday between 9 and 4, so I tell clients right off the bat so that they can plan their schedules accordingly, because some clients have difficult work schedules. You know, they'll tell me, well, my boss won't let me out. not a nice boss.
True.
Won't let you out for an hour to, you know, for the biggest transaction of your life. So that's really it, is setting expectations so that we can avoid drama and surprises later on. And then, you know, if something does come up, we have to work around it. And stuff does come up. So, like you said, when we get the title search back, we've had some issues lately with those. And I wanted to spend some time today talking about the importance of title searches and title insurance, because I've seen deals fall apart over title issues lately. One just fell apart this past week because my clients, they bought their house in 1992, did not get title insurance, and they're selling it right now, and there's a mortgage that's showing up from the prior owner. The owner that sold it to them. Now, it was paid off at the closing, but there's no proof of it. And it was such a long time ago. And, you know, to call this bank, it's one of these big national banks. They're a challenge to work with. So I said, hey, do you have owner's title insurance? Because if they did, that would save the day. They did not. And this took about... I just got it resolved, but unfortunately it was after the contract had to get canceled. It took 6 weeks for this bank to get me the paperwork that I needed, and about dozens of calls, emails. So, you know, that title insurance policy would have helped them out there.
So why would, I know the answer, but why would I want to buy title insurance? If I was buying a house, I've got all these expenses, and it's always at the closing table when they say, okay, if, you know, the bank has title insurance to protect its interest, and for X amount of dollars, you can get title insurance to protect your interest. So why would I want to do that?
I'm so glad you asked that, because there are a lot of attorneys that bring that up right at the end of the closing. You've got the, you know, emotional buyers. They just spent thousands of dollars, and now someone's asking them to spend more. And their initial gut reaction is, I don't have any more money. I'm not getting this. Didn't you do a title search? Why would I need this? Mm-hmm. I always bring up title insurance or buyer's title insurance at the beginning of the transaction when we're going through attorney review, so that they can start, you know, digesting all the information. And if they have questions about it, they can ask me. I always recommend title insurance. It's malpractice to tell someone not to get it. And the chances of something coming up, you know, after you buy the house, like someone knocks on your door and says, hey, guess what? I own your property. They're so slim. They're so slim. But there are situations, like I mentioned earlier, with that mortgage that would have, you know, saved the client time and the transaction. So now she's got to spend, you know, probably hundreds, not thousands of dollars maintaining it, looking for another buyer. And, you know, title insurance is not like any other insurance. Where you pay it every 6 months, every year. Owner's title insurance, you pay it once at the closing, And then it's like that rotisserie chicken commercial from many years ago. It's like you set it and forget it. so you pay it, and then you don't have to think about it. So if, you know, you own your house for 30 years, you're covered for 30 years. And, you know, title insurance protects against what happened in the past. That's something we don't know about. So, for example, forgery, fraud, it's difficult, you know, to detect when they're doing a title search, and it may not come up until later. Other insurances, you pay for what may happen in the future, you know, like a car accident or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, for me, it's peace of mind. You know, if a client asks me, like, what would you do? Well, I'd get it. I have it online. and if you, I mean, these days, title searches are taking a little bit longer than usual because of the volume. So if I'm selling my house and I give the other attorney my title policy, that's going to speed up the title search, you know, for our transaction, so save some time. And, you know, in the grand scheme of things, the title insurance, the rates are set by New York State. And it's based on three things: your loan amount, the purchase price, and location of property. So no matter where you get title insurance in New York State, your premium, it's fixed.
Right.
And, you know, in my experience, it's between $200 and $900. You know, of course, if you've got a $700,000 house and your mortgage is $300, your title insurance is going to be probably, I don't know, maybe $1,500, because you're covering all that equity
right.
that you're putting in. You know, for cases, you know, I have clients say, well, my mortgage is $250, the house is $250, I don't have any equity, why am I going to pay an extra couple hundred dollars? Well, over time, you're going to build equity, and that's what the insurance is going to cover. And clients obviously have the right to say, Dan, I'm not doing it. And if they don't want it, they have to sign a form that says, I did offer it, I explained it, and client said no.
Right.
I don't need that call 5 years from now. Well, you never went over this with me. So, and then, you know, now, because realtors are not allowed to attend closings, what used to happen years ago is the client would turn to their left or right and look at their realtor and say, what do you think I should do? And some realtors say, you don't need that. And then I would chime in. Say, I think you do need it.
Well, you know, it's funny because you and I were talking about this earlier. Well, not today, but yesterday. And I said, you know, when I lived down in Syracuse, it was an easy sell. Because at that point in time, quite a bit ago, a few years ago, it was the time when there was all the title issues in Syracuse where they were saying that the Indians owned all the land, and they put in the claim that they owned Syracuse and all the other land around it. So when I went to closings and I'm like, do you want to buy title insurance? And they're like, why would I want to do that? I'm like, well, what if the Indians own your land? And they're like, where do I sign?
Yeah.
Let me write you a check on that. You know, so it was fairly easy then. But, you know, and people don't think about those things. And things happen. There's a lot of situations that happen. And I remember one time when I was reviewing title for one of our clients at the office. I think it was one of Harry's clients. And I looked at it and I said, wait, didn't you say that it's a restaurant that they're buying? And he went, well, yeah, it's a going restaurant. I'm like, well, this deed says that there's not allowed to be a restaurant on this deed. So yeah. I'm like, but they've got a deed? You know, and he's like, yeah. And luckily enough, the people had bought title insurance. So the sellers, so we were able to clear everything up. But it was just like, wait, didn't you say it was a restaurant? And then clearly in the title, it was one of those things that said no restaurants can be, no commercial business can be on this property. And apparently, you know, they'd done it anyway. So it was very interesting.
Well, some people don't listen.
That's true. So we would like for you guys to give us a call. It's 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. We can answer your questions on estate planning, estate administration, Medicaid planning. Also, this coming week, the week of the 15th, Monday, Washington's, or President's Day, I guess it is, we have our first webinar of the week, because next week is webinar week. On Monday, the 15th, we have Wills versus Trusts, which is one of the more popular webinars. It discusses if I have a will, do I need a trust? If I have a trust, do I need a will? Kind of easy stuff like that. On Tuesday at 2 o'clock, and these are all at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, how not to pay for services, long-term care solutions. Kim Hance, our geriatric care manager, presents this with one of the attorneys to talk about all of the different things that are available to seniors, you know, talking about things like Meals on Wheels and other organizations that are out there to help our seniors. And on Wednesday, the February 17th, we have a brand new one, which is going to be kind of cool. It's estate tax and asset preservation. It's regarding dual residence clients, right? So people that are snowbirds, people that have a house in Florida, they have a house in New York. If you pass away, how is that going to be treated? Will we have to probate your will in New York? Will we have to probate your will in Florida? What's the situation as far as the tax situation for estate tax planning and tax planning? That's, like I said, that's a new one that we haven't done yet. Thursday is legal and financial planning for Alzheimer's disease. It's in partnership with the Alzheimer's Association. This is a really a good one that gives you a lot of good information, and it's always nice to have a guest speaker from the Alzheimer's Association to help our clients and people that are prospective clients are just getting an education from our webinars to plug in. And then Friday is Medicaid estate planning myths, which is always fun. It's kind of, I compare it to like Mythbusters that they have on TV when you say, this is what you think, and it's like, eh, wrong. So it's a great week, great lineup. It's 2 o'clock every day next week. We have a webinar, and you just go on our website to register, and they'll send you a link to the Zoom presentation. And also, if you miss one of them, they're probably going to be recorded on our website at www.herzoglaw.com, and you could just log on to those and just watch them at your leisure. But we'd love for you to join us live. And if you do want to join us, just go to our website at www.herzoglaw.com, and then just click on register, and we'll send you a Zoom link. So it's going to be fun. I'm doing Wills versus Trusts on Monday. So I forgot that we were closed on Monday, and I was like, darn it, so much for having a day off, right?
Yeah, I don't, I think I'll be in the office as well.
So, but we'd love for you guys to give us a call at 518-476-5900. So, Dan, question. So if I have a situation where I have an elderly parent and say they're in assisted living right now, which they're kind of locked down, or a nursing home or something like that, and I'm their power of attorney, and because they're in, you know, they've moved out of their home, and I want to sell their house, can I sell it with their power of attorney?
You sure can, Debbie. As long as that power of attorney is recorded, and if it's not recorded, we would need the original at the closing to be recorded, so that we have a proper chain of title. So if someone is doing a title search, you know, 20 years from now, they say, oh, well, Susie owned the property, but it was signed by Debbie as POA. Where do we see the POA? Now, if it's recorded, they're going to see it in the chain of title, and all is good. So I'm seeing a lot of that lately due to COVID and the nursing homes not being able to go there and our, you know, folks not being able to leave. You know, powers of attorney are strongly recommended right now.
I have a lot of clients that say, why do I need a power of attorney? And it's kind of interesting because I have couples that come in and say, well, if something happens to me, then he can take care of everything, right? And I'm like, well, didn't you just tell me that you guys have accounts that are individually in your name, and even though they say transfer on death whenever you pass away, right? They're not going to have any access to that account. So let's just say something happens to you and you're in an accident and the money's all locked up in your account. They're not going to have any access to that account to pay the bills. So people really need to think about it.
And that is the perfect segue to something else that I wanted to talk about is, like, you know what you know, I know what I know. You know, when people are thinking about estate planning, they should be talking to an attorney that has experience with estate planning. When they're buying or selling a house, that's not the time to just use, you know, your cousin who just graduated law school. He doesn't have any experience, and he's been doing some, you know, criminal law and vehicle and traffic law. But he's doing you a favor because he's not charging you for your transaction. And, you know, this situation comes up more often than it should. And I tell people they're not doing you a favor. They're actually hurting you. And it's important because there's a lot on the line here. When you are buying a house, you've got contingency dates that if they come and go, you're up a creek. So you've got so many days to do your home inspections. And if you miss it, and there's no extension granted, and you find out about an inspection issue later on, there's nothing you can do about it. If you've got a contingency in there that you've got to sell your current house by a certain date, and you miss that date, it's not a good day. You know, financing as well. You've got so many days to get a mortgage. And also preparation of the documents at the closing. I've had several situations this year, and we are 44 days into the year, and I've already had several of these where the attorney that represented my client when they bought did not do what they were supposed to do. And surprise, it's because they are not real estate attorneys. Now, am I perfect? No. My kids think I am, though, which is sweet.
Which is good, yes.
Yeah. But, you know, now we're trying to fix these issues, and then they're upset. And, you know, unfortunately, they take it out on me, even though I'm not the one that created the situation, but I'm putting in a lot of hours to help solve it. So important to, you know, use a real estate attorney. You know, I tell people, let's think about, you know, dentists. So several years ago, I had my wisdom teeth taken out, which is why I don't feel as smart as I used to be. I had an oral surgeon take them out for me. It's not like I can go to a podiatrist and say, hey, you know, you went to medical school. Can you rip these teeth out for me? Of course not. I wouldn't feel too well. So, you know what you know what you don't know. If you're looking to buy or sell a house, you know, I'd love it if you call me. But, you know, definitely use a real estate attorney. And speaking of phone calls, if we're going to hit our magic number of 8, this is where Ben tells us we have a call.
Well, it's funny that you mention that, Dan and Debbie. We actually do have a caller. We have Carol in Schenectady.
Good morning, Carol.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for this service. This is wonderful. I have a question about power of attorney.
Okay.
If I'm in the hospital and someone has to pay my bills for me, does my power of attorney have the right to do that for me?
They should have the right to do that. I mean, that's what a power of attorney is for. When did you do your power of attorney? How many years ago?
3 years ago. It's a durable power of attorney.
Okay. So it's a durable power of attorney. And do you remember if you did what's called the statutory, I guess, did you do the statutory gifts rider, and then you're going to say, I really don't know, and then I'm going to ask you, how many pages is your power of attorney?
Oh, it was about 10 pages.
Okay, there you go. So you probably have the statutory gifts rider. So basically, the power of attorney that you've done, if it has the statutory gifts rider, the person that your power of attorney can do anything that you can do, right? Open accounts, close accounts, pay your bills, do whatever needs to be done.
Yeah. When I asked the attorney, I said, you know, what's the difference between a durable power of attorney and a plain power of attorney? She said, if you're out traveling, she says, if you're in Germany and your house burns down, she said, I can take care of that for you.
Mm-hmm. Right. So a durable power of attorney, the big difference between a durable power of attorney and a regular just power of attorney is a durable power of attorney is still good even if you become incapacitated. If it's not durable, then once the person becomes incapacitated, the person can't act for them. So you want to make sure that you have a durable power of attorney because most people don't need someone to act for them until they're incapacitated.
Right. And that's exactly what I do have. She said it's a durable.
That's great.
If I need my bills to be paid, say I'm in the hospital, say I had an accident or something, mm-hmm. I'm in the hospital and my bills need to be paid. If her name is not on my check, can she still sign them?
Yeah, so what she would do is she would take a copy of the power of attorney to the bank. Sometimes they want an original or they want an attorney certified copy, and then they put it on file at the bank so that they know that that person can act for you. And then the person that's signing your check would just sign it their name, POA, or their name as agent for you. So as long as they identify that on the signature line, it's not an issue.
Well, I have already gone to the bank and gave them her social security number and the mm-hmm. power to write checks. But if they don't know that, I think I've mentioned it to her, but if she didn't remember, I don't know what she would do.
I'm sorry, you wouldn't know what she would do as far as it. So it's at the bank, so the bank knows. So she would basically just
know that she can do that. But I did mention it to her. I said, if you ever need to write anything, write a check out or anything, you have the right to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If she doesn't remember that, what would she do?
Well, a lot of times we get calls from people, so let's just say we were your attorney. And so a lot of times our clients will just say, here's our attorney's card. If anything ever happens to me and you need help and you need to figure out what to do, give them a call. And then usually what we'll do is walk them through it and say, okay, is the power of attorney on file at the bank? Then you don't have any problems writing checks. Or if the power of attorney is not on file at the bank, we can always do an attorney certified copy and have it sent over to the bank. So generally giving them more information so that they know what to do when something happens to you is the best thing to do.
I'm trying to do that. It's my niece. My niece is an attorney. And I told them where all my papers are in my house. And I'm trying to just inform them so that it's not like a hit and miss type thing if anything happens to me.
That's an excellent idea.
Yeah, I have no children, so they, you know, my power of attorney is it. And it's power of attorney and executor.
Right.
So they have that right to do both, you know. So I'm trying to, given my age, I'm preparing them, you know, just trying to let them know what's going on, trying to get rid of things in the house, you know, just to make it easier for them.
Wow, if everyone would listen to you, then things would go a lot smoother for attorneys like us at the end, right?
Well, you know, I have to tell you, I just love this information. I listen to you every Saturday because this is just such good stuff. And we should listen to this so that it's the people that we leave that get stuck with all this. But if we listened to what you say and we set things up so that it's not that difficult for them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's a wonderful service that you're providing, but I think people should really take you up on this and get their ducks in a row.
Wow, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Really? So the power of attorney really has the power to do just about anything.
Mm-hmm. Really anything, and that's why a lot of people don't want to do them. They think, you know, well, what if this person does this or that? And I always tell them, if you're worried about that, you shouldn't appoint them as your power of attorney. And you can also appoint co-powers of attorney, right? So you can have two people named as power of attorney so that there's a checks and balances if you're really concerned about somebody doing something.
Well, I trust her for that. I also have two executors. I have co-executors because I have a specific will because of no children, and it's very detailed. My will is very detailed because I want certain things done in a certain way. So there's where I want the checks and balances, is with my executors.
That's good. That definitely makes sense.
It's just an idea for people to know. You know, I think power of attorney might be worth a show in itself because we don't really realize everything that they can do.
It's true. It's very true.
But I certainly appreciate the information that you give. Every Saturday, I tune in, and I want to hear everything that you have to say.
It's always awesome when someone calls in and says that they listen all the time, because sometimes we're on here and we don't get any phone calls, and we're like, wow, is everybody just, like, out shopping or still in bed or drinking coffee, and they're not calling in? So we really appreciate your call, and it's great that you listen to us.
Well, it's a little bit early, so I do have to set my alarm. Especially a Saturday morning, you know. Oh, I can sleep in. No, I can't.
I hear you.
I totally appreciate it. I think if everybody listened to this and really listened to it and did something about it, it certainly helps when things happen. And when you're feeling good, when you're healthy, you don't think about this stuff.
No, you don't.
When I lost my parents, when my father died, the estate wasn't planned, but after he died, my brother's a CPA and got everything all in a trust, and it was perfect.
Well, that's good. You're one of those people that had everything planned, and your family sounds like they do too, so we really appreciate that, and hopefully, you know, your power of attorney won't have to act for you.
I hope not either. I hope I'm always being... Actually, I got very emotional when I signed the papers. I said, you know, I worked hard for everything in my life. And I said, it really bothers me to give anyone that power to do anything that I worked so hard for. And she laughed and she says, you know, I wouldn't do anything like that.
That's true.
And I know she wouldn't. She's a wonderful, wonderful niece. So I wouldn't, you know, she would never do anything like that. But it's not easy to give someone the power to do anything they want with everything that you've worked hard for all your life.
That's very true. So we're going to have to go to the break right now, but thank you very much for giving us a call, and thanks for being a listener.
Yes, thank you for the service.
You're welcome. You have a great weekend.
Same to you.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, we've reached the bottom of the hour past, so we're going to take our break right here. We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate Medicaid Planning Hour. Coming up right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for,
options available for Medicaid planning, and more.
With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany,
West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs,
Executive Woods in Clifton Park,
and Flatbush Road in Kingston,
our attorneys are here to help you.
If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David,
Jane Marie Harry, or Debbie,
please call us during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581.
Our Saratoga Springs office at 518-581-8131.
Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010.
And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405.
Let the Herzog Law Firm help you navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
And we're back for the second half hour. I'm Debbie Verney.
And I'm Dan Glasser.
And we're two of the attorneys with the Herzog Law Firm. We're going to be here to answer your questions on estate planning, estate administration, Medicaid planning, and real estate. And you could be the first caller this half hour at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. Interesting, I was sitting here during the break, I got a text, and a friend of mine's, her father-in-law passed away, and she sent me this text And she says, can you tell me how my husband would go about finding out if his dad had a will? Like, would it be filed through the county he lives in or something? So, that's just a great question. So how do you find out if a person has a will, right? How do you know if they've done any estate planning documents? The caller that we had in the first half hour was saying she had everything all together. She had her niece, who's an attorney, that is, you know, her executor and her power of attorney, and her niece knows everything, and she's told her where all the paperwork is. But what happens if they don't know, right? So how do you find out if someone has a will? What do you think, Dan?
Call their attorney.
Yeah, so it's interesting because people think that wills are on file someplace. And after people sign documents with me, they're like, so you're going to file my will at the surrogate's court, or you're going to file my will, right? They don't know where I would file it. And I'm like, no, we keep your will in our vaults. And then if anything happens, your family can get the original will and do whatever we need to do with it. Or some people do want their original documents. But if you pass away and they can't find your original will, it's just assumed that you died without a will. So stuff may not go where you want it to go. And wills are not filed anywhere. The only time I know of that generally wills are filed is if, say, you have an attorney that ends up closing his practice and can't get a hold of some of his clients, then they will file a will at the surrogate's court where the person lives so that that will's on file just in case something happens to that person and they're looking for the will. Other than that, I mean, people wouldn't know. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important when you're setting up your estate planning documents to tell your family and friends about your plans and where certain documents are. So
yeah,
why would it be advised to not? I know the answer, and I was listening to our esteemed colleagues, Harry and David, not that company, but they were talking last week about why not to file a will at surrogate's court. Like, why do we file ours in our vault?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that because, and I've been doing this for quite a long time. We had a situation where we just filed a will in the court that we had done, and they said, hey, there's another will here. And we went, what? And so in the prior will, the decedent had left a gift to somebody and had somebody else as executor that wasn't involved in the new will. And they said, well, you have to send notification to that person. They have to get notification that they were in the other will and that there's a new will and basically that they're getting cut out. And I'm like, seriously? Because in the paperwork, when you do a new will, it says, I hereby revoke all prior wills, right? Meaning I could change my will a gazillion times, and whatever the last one says whenever I pass away is supposed to govern. And I was like, wow, that's just because they had this will on file in the surrogate's court, we had to find this person. And we actually, the process server found him yesterday. I mean, right before the date is up to go to court. And he's not entitled to anything, but he's entitled to notice. So now he's gotten a copy of the old will that was on file at the court and the new will that the decedent did. And he's not entitled to get anything, but we had to serve him notice so that he knows that he was in the old will. Kind of weird, huh?
That is strange.
Debbie and Dan?
Yes.
We have another caller. We have Steve in Red Hook.
Good morning, Steve.
Yes, hi. I've got a question. My daughter and her boyfriend are buying a house together, and neither one of them have a will. But they, I guess on the mortgage and everything, both their names appear, and they're sharing the expense equally. Do you have any advice for them?
Do you want to go for it, Dan?
I will take this one, Debbie. So there are three ways to hold title. One of them is by tenants by the entirety, which is for married couples, so that doesn't apply here. The other is tenants in common, so they each, you know, own 50% of the house, the right to live there and use and enjoy all of it. And then if one of them dies, that person's 50% interest would go through their estate, however their documents were set up. And then the other one is joint tenants with rights of survivorship, which acts the same way as the tenants by the entirety, you know, for married couples. So if, you know, if they're joint tenants and one passes away, I always pick on the guy. So if the boyfriend passes away, his interest automatically goes to the daughter. There's no need for any kind of probate, estate planning stuff. It's automatic. Most people, that's what they choose. You know, and then if they do end up getting married, you know, at some point in the future, there's no need to change the deed. They can if they want to. Like if a name changes, we could do a deed change down the road. But if they don't, we would just have to prove that, you know, let's just say the daughter changed the name. We would just have to prove that, you know, daughter Smith, you know, is now daughter Jones. You know, a marriage certificate would obviously be the best proof of that. And there would also be a name affidavit that you know, she's swearing this is the same person.
Yeah, well, I know I don't think they're having any intentions of getting married, so... but I guess I'd have to convince them to see a lawyer about getting a will written out, though, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, the worst-case scenario would be that they take it and that they're, you know, 20 years down the road, right?
Yeah.
And they don't make provisions for each other in their wills, and then all of a sudden one of them passes away, and then the person that passes away, their half of their house goes to their relatives, and now she owns a house jointly with his relatives.
Right.
So you really need to make provisions for that if the deed is not done as Dan said. You know, you need to be careful because, like I said, does she really want to be partners in this house with his relatives? And the answer is probably no.
True, yeah.
So, okay. Lot to think about.
All right, sounds good. Thank you for the advice.
No problem. Thank you for calling.
All right, and we have another caller. We have Lorraine in Albany.
Good morning, Lorraine.
Well, good morning. I have a question about deeds and titles for houses. My house does not have a title nor a deed because I built it with cash on my property. Is that a problem?
No, as long as you own the land that you built it on, you should have a deed to the land.
Yes, there's a deed to the land.
Okay.
So I don't need a title on the house because it's all on the property.
Well, right, as long as you own that land, which it sounds like you do.
Yep. Okay, so there's no problems with transferring it to anybody because they don't need title insurance for a house. They would need it only for the property.
Right, they're gonna do so. If you sold the house tomorrow, the title company would still do a title search, and it has to go back at least 40 years. So they're gonna, you know, go back 40 years at, you know, when you bought the property. You know, they might do what's called municipal searches. They're going to make sure that your house doesn't violate any, they're called setback lines. So,
okay.
You know, they vary. So your house has to be built so many feet back from the street, you know, side.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
no, it's built on the middle of 17 acres. So it's in the middle of no place.
Okay. Well, sounds like you're fine.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much and have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too, Lorraine.
Yeah.
Wow, that was great. We had like a whole flurry of callers. We still have time for a few callers if they want to call at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. Great real estate questions. I've had that question before where you just buy vacant land, right, and then you build a house, and they say, well, I don't have a deed for my house, but it's the land that right. has the deed. It's whatever you, you know, you build on it that deed kind of covers that.
Right. You know, and then some people, before they list their house, they do a pre-listing home inspection.
Mm-hmm.
So they find out, you know, are there any substantial defects with my house? And if there are, well, I'll fix them now. What I would suggest is doing the same thing with title. You know, because a lot of the title issues that I come across, you know, the client has no idea that they're there. You know, just like most people aren't going up in their attic every week. Oh, how are things looking up here? Any leaks? You know, most people don't know if there's an issue with their title. You know, when they refinance, the rates are amazing. So a lot of people are refinancing. You know, you get a new... get a new mortgage. The old mortgage is supposed to be paid off and the lender files a satisfaction and mortgage at the clerk's office. And sometimes, you know, everything is based on an instrument number. So if the clerk hits a 5 instead of a 4, that mortgage is going to show up as open of record. And no one's going to know about it unless there's a title search done. So I think I'm onto something here. I think everyone should do title search before they put their house up for sale. It could save the day.
Debbie, Dan, we have another caller. We have Tom from Poughkeepsie.
Good morning, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Good. Got a question for you. I'm caregiver for my nephew. He's somewhat mentally handicapped. He's mm-hmm. He's been getting SSI, and recently his mother... She had a plan out. She willed him she passed away. She willed him her pension. Now, is he allowed to keep the SSI, or how does that work?
Oh, wow. So he's going to be over on the income, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, giving him her pension probably was not a good thing to do because he may lose SSI. You'd have to look at the levels as far as what his income is. Does he have any income at all other than SSI?
Yes, he does. He works 3 days a week.
Okay. So what you have to look at is the levels that the person is allowed to get when they're on SSI. So he's not is he on SSI or SSD?
What's SSD? Social Security Disability.
Disability.
I think, yeah.
Because there's a difference between SSI and SSD. There's different limitations as far as assets and income that you can have.
But either way, would you be able to keep that, or?
Well, it depends on how much it is. So,
$1,600. I think he gets $1,000 SSI, and her pension was $1,600.
So I'm trying to, you know what you can do? That's a good question. Why don't you give her office a call on Tuesday, and we can go over the specifics, and in the meantime, you can find out if he's getting SSI or SSDI.
Uh-huh.
Right, because okay. There's two different levels. And then just give us a call on Monday morning, or not Monday, sorry, we're closed on Monday, on Tuesday morning. And the phone number is 518-465-7581.
Okay.
And we can give you the answers to the questions, because we would need to know if it's SSI or SSDI, because it's two completely different situations.
So one... if he was getting one, he might be able to keep it, and on the other, he might not be able to keep it. Is that what you're saying? Or?
It depends exactly on which one it is, because there's different assets and income limits for both of those.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. Well, maybe you could. I'm not sure, but maybe by the time I call, maybe you could just give me a run. You know, on both. So I would, if, you know, on both. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So if you look at, does he have like a direct deposit on his check, or does he get?
No, he probably got a statement, though, right?
That says what his benefits. It's going to say on that whether it's SSI or SSDI.
Yeah. I think it's that. I think it's SSDI.
Okay. And then just give us a call on Monday, and we can tell you what both of them are then.
Okay. Okay.
Okie doke.
Very well. Okay.
You have a
great weekend.
Okay.
You too, dear.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, excellent questions, and we get that question a lot whenever people have a child that's disabled, whenever they're leaving them assets when they pass away. And the worst thing you can do is if you have someone that's on SSI to leave them assets or income outright, because it may kick them off their benefits, and then they would like have to spend down the benefits before that they would get back on. And so a lot of times we'll set up what's called a special needs trust so that that money can go into that so that they can still get their benefits and then they still get the benefit of the bequest. So we'll have to look at that on Tuesday as to whether it's SSI or SSDI. But again, a great question. Just before we're coming down to the end, I wanted to mention again, we do have webinars this week. They're at 2 o'clock on Monday through Friday. Monday is Wills versus Trusts. Tuesday is How Not to Pay for Services. 2 o'clock on Wednesday is Estate and Tax Asset Preservation Considerations for a Dual Residence Client. 2 p.m. on Thursday is Legal and Financial Planning for Alzheimer's Disease. And 2 o'clock on Friday, Medicaid and Estate Planning Myths. And also, we do have Webinar Wednesday. Every Wednesday, we have a webinar at 10 in the morning and 2 in the afternoon, and you can also register for any of those on our website at www.herzoglaw.com. So that's a lot, huh?
Can someone also register by calling our office at 518-465-7581?
They can, but they can't for the Monday one because there's no one in the office till Tuesday. So if they want to register for the one on Monday, they're going to have to go to the website and we'll get them registered. But as far as any of the other ones, sure, they can always call the office and register.
Okay. And if they're working at 2 and they just can't, can they watch it later in the day?
Probably not that specific one, but a lot of them are pre-recorded. They're on our website at www.herzoglaw.com. And if you go to our blog page, most of them have been pre-recorded, and you can kind of click on them and watch them at your leisure, kind of like Netflix, right? You can pause them, go get a snack, go back, watch the rest of them, fast forward if you don't want to watch it. But it's a great opportunity to get some education. I have some people that have come in and they're like, okay, so we've watched all of the webinars on your website and we answered a lot of our own questions, but these are the questions that we have. And it's great because a lot of people come in and they already know exactly what they want, and they know the exact questions that they need to ask.
That's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. I don't think we got our 8 phone calls in, Dan.
No, but we're halfway there. It's the Bon Jovi song.
So, you know, I guess we'll have to try harder next time to get, you know, we got half. We got 50%, so that's not too bad. But we have time for like one more quick caller before the end of the hour, and we'd love for you guys to give us a call. It's a call-in show, and Dan and I could talk about real estate and estate planning all day, but we'd love to hear your questions, and we've really gotten a lot of great questions today, a lot of interesting scenarios, and the best thing to do is to plan ahead, right? We offer free consults, so if someone wants to come in and talk to us about estate planning, estate administration, Medicaid planning, we'd love to meet with them. And then Dan, you know, can give you answers as far as some simple things as far as real estate, but every contract is different, right?
Oh,
kind of like every estate plan is different. So if you want to make some time to visit with one of us, you can call our office at 518-465-7581. Stacy is extension 126. She could put time on her calendar for phone calls or for Zoom calls, or we're meeting clients in person. I know that you're doing all the in-person closing, so that's got to be fun, huh, Dan?
It is fun. It is fun. I mean, oftentimes the sellers are signing in advance of the closing so they don't have to be there. And the buyers, depending on where the closing is taking place, the buyers and the sellers are separated in different rooms. So it feels like we're fighting, but we're not. But it's just a way to keep everyone safe. And we'll get
you know, that's
this.
The goal right now, to keep everyone safe.
Always. You know, speaking of, we were talking about planning. I came up with this thing. I call it P to the fifth power.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that our thousands of listeners are wondering, what is he talking about? So P to the fifth power is prior planning prevents poor performance.
Ooh.
Pretty deep.
Pretty deep. Of course, you can't say that quick like 10 times, right?
Yeah, I tried. It's a seven.
You got to seven. So, again, we would love to answer your calls. Well, we got like 4 minutes. I don't know if we can fit one in.
You have less than a minute.
I have less than a minute. So
yes.
Join us for our webinars. Give our office a call if you'd like to visit with us at 518-465-7581. Stacy's at extension 126. She could put time on our calendars. And there'll be two of us back here next week to answer your questions on estate planning, estate administration, and Medicaid planning. Hopefully you can join us next week on the radio or join us this week at any of our webinars and go to our website at www.herzoglaw.com to register. Any closing comments, Dan?
Did you know that tomorrow is Valentine's Day?
I do.
Yeah, a friend told me the other day, save my marriage. So I'm going to go get some chocolate.
Chocolate and flowers.
Right, of course.
You guys have a great weekend. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.